Welcome to Insights for Manufacturing, the podcast that supports the UK manufacturing sector, hosted by Jeff Beecham, the manufacturer's recruiter. Hello and welcome to Insights for Manufacturing. My guest today is Vanessa Loyola, who is the founder of Veloy Automation and a consultant robotics programming specialist, known on LinkedIn and other social media channels as the Robot Queen. So welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Now, unfortunately, I did miss your speech at the Automation UK event earlier this year. I was at the event, but not on that particular day. But I think it's worthwhile mentioning, Vanessa, that you've just recently become Favicon top voice for LinkedIn and robotics.
Yes,
which is a fantastic achievement.
Exciting, because it's new. I was the first woman, like the top voice for women in robotics on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And just recently became the person, or overcome all the men, and it was kind of great, at least for what I do, because I'm one of the few that really create content about robotics on LinkedIn. So
Brilliant. So I'm really pleased that you've been able to join me today on Insights for Manufacturing. I just want to sort of set the scene, if you like. So here in the UK, we've fallen from 8th to 12th in the global manufacturing table. And I suppose it's no surprise that, you know, we are also outside of the top 20 global countries for robot density, which is robots per 10,000 capita, I believe. So what are the misconceptions that SMEs have about robotics, Vanessa, and how can these be addressed to encourage the wider adoption?
I believe that it's like the cost, I believe, is too expensive. Okay. And some of, I wouldn't say the managers, but like employees think that they're going to lose their job.
Yes.
And that's not at all. Of course, there is cost involved, but you will recover that money in such, like, sometimes in a few months, depends on the application, and sometimes in a year. But
yeah,
you increase production and get that employee doing all those type of tasks, because sometimes there are a lot of repetitive tasks in any production line. And those repetitive tasks can cause lesions on the person.
Okay.
Saying right. And, you know, then you have to, that employee have to get day offs or even get sick because of repetitive tasks. And meanwhile, you can have a robot replacing that specific task, and then the employee can focus on the rest of the process. So you can increase production and keep the same employee. And I think that is really a misconception on the industry, especially the small ones that they cannot afford, but there are affordable robots there. You don't need like a 250 kg payload robot to do a small task. There are small ones, affordable, and you can get that money back in a few months, depends on the application.
That's really interesting, because I know when a lot of businesses put their sort of CapEx forecasts and, you know, their justification for spend on new plant and equipment, you know, I think anywhere between sort of 12 months and 2 years is what they must get that return on investment. But, you know, if some of the processes can deliver an ROI in a matter of months, that's just brilliant.
It's about, I would say, about planning and focus and why we need first.
Yeah.
Because a few mistakes that especially new companies approaching automation is like, yeah, we go full automation, or they choose what they want to automate first, is sometimes that a mistake, because they might not know what is the best. So you need to have someone specialize on automation. And then, of course, there are people like me, but there are system integrations that can go there and analyze the process and say, okay, you might need automate this part, let's say the palletizing first, or you need to automate the manufacturing or the assembly line first, the checking, the camera, the vision system. There are a few steps that you should automate first.
Sure.
Because if you, let's say you automate the palletizing, that's like the end of your line.
Yep.
but your line is still really slow. So that robot will take more time to have your money back, your return on investment, because your line is still slow comparing to the robot. But then if you add that robot, let's say on the assembly part, that the robot would increase the amount of parts and products, then you probably will have the return in less time. So I would say have someone specialized in automation to give advice, to show you, to analyze your the process. You know, each process, each company is unique, even though you're doing the same. You know, you could be doing the same as the guy down the street, but still your process is unique for you and might not apply the same as the other guy. You know, that's what I see a lot when I sometimes I go to my customers to improve the robot. Sometimes it's improve the robots that I already have to reduce cycle time, and I can see it's like you did not need a robot in this part of your process. But the other part over there, you needed two, and you just had one. So now you could get this robot here that you might ha didn't like, you might not need now, and move to another part of your line to increase production. But that the part that I think people kind of make mistakes because they just see a robot, they find nice, like they saw somebody else that bought a robot similar to do a palletizing or to do assembling, and they thought that was the best. But every application is different and every process is different. So I believe when you have the right start and planning, and of course start slow to adapt and then grow and then automate the other parts of the process. Yes.
So it's a bespoke solution, isn't it, for each individual
Yeah.
company with their own unique processes. I suppose if you're going to invest money in robotics, automation, or any sort of plant and equipment, it's best to be sure that what you're buying is fit for purpose,
And
but
yeah, well,
you've got to
like
get it
what
in the
you
right
buy
order.
is what you really need. Because the robot, of course, a palletizing robot, it's amazing. But as I said, if you just have a box at the end of your line every 2 minutes, you don't need a robot there. You might need the robot to speed up the process to deliver you like a box a minute or something to speed up. But then if you cannot, like let's say if your pallet, you have a pallet every half an hour, you will need something to move that, a robot to move the pallet, like because it's half an hour. You still can have an operator to move more than one pallet. You know, it's just, I would say, have the right robot, the right application. Of course, there are options that you don't need to be a spoke machine. Some of the robot is kind of easy, depends of what you need. You kind of have the option there in the market that you can easily combine that robot to your production line. The bespoke, I would say, is the best because they would recommend really the right one. But of course, there are other options, affordable ones. And of course, less time to integrate. But then again, would be depends of the process. Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of SME manufacturing, what are the sort of main or common challenges, when businesses are sort of adopting robotics for the first time? Are there any sort of typical sort of pitfalls or challenges, and how do they
Yes,
overcome
well,
them?
as I see that a lot as like when I go to the consultants, is training. First one is training the employees. Okay. Because you need to train them even like before to adapt, that's a robot there. A lot of people that I worked with before, operators, they're so scared that the robot would kill them, even if they get close to the robot. Of course, there are safe measures that you need to take, but the robot's not gonna kill you just if you stand beside it, the robot itself. Of course, if you get in and if something happened, that is the risks. There are the risks, but you need to train them well so they're gonna maintain and keep your machine running properly. Because I worked in places and I'm seeing things that they do to the robot, like put grease on the robot where it should not put grease. because they work with other machines, and that those other machines you need to add grease on the joints. So they just presume that you should add grease to the robot because there are joints on the robot, and that's not right. You cannot do that. You could damage the robot. But because of lack of training, they didn't know, and they thought they were doing the best. So I would say training is really important, especially troubleshooting. Like if they get there in the morning, the robot stop, basic steps that the operator can do to check the machine. Because of course, if you call technicians every time you have something wrong on the robot, that would cost a lot. And that as well is a thing that the small manufacturers try to avoid cost. They want, of course, they are just starting, they want to save money, they don't want to spend a lot. And the second one is that I would say the maintenance, the right maintenance for the robot there. Because one thing is the operator using the robot correctly, but again, if the maintenance team doesn't know how often they should check the robot, how often they should change the oil, how often you should change the batteries. And one of the big issues every Christmas or every we call holidays time that they shut down the plants here in Ireland and probably around Europe is because they shut down the machines, turn it off the power for a week, two. And then they forgot all that those machines have batteries, the robot. And then once the battery is gone, some of the robot, you could lose everything. You could lose not just the programs, you could lose the calibration. Some of the robot, some of robot brands, you can just lose the calibration, but still would not be an easy start, that Monday morning when everybody go back to work and you can start power on the machines, and probably 70% of those robot would not power on, or with power on, missing a lot of parts. And this is a simple thing. It's a battery that you can change in a few minutes. So I would say, for my experience, those are the biggest ones.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, and for smaller manufacturers with limited budgets, have you got any examples of some of the sort of cost-effective ways to integrate or begin to integrate automation into their processes?
Well, I would say to start with small robots. Sometimes the collaborative robots are kind of the best choice. They're not really great for really quick and fast. If you have to be really fast, the collaborative robot might not match the needs. But I would say to start there because they're easy to program and reprogram. So if you decide to change the robot for another place on the process, you just need to change the tool and program the robot again. And of course, the risk assessment made right on that robot, it's easier. You wouldn't need the full robotic cell around it. So sometimes that would save money, cost-wise. And of course, the size of the robot cell would be smaller because it might need just a scanner or light curtains. You won't need the full fence around that robot. So that would help as well to the operators to understand that there is a small risk on that robot. And the speed, of course, to integrate a collaborative robot and an application. But then it would depend which application. Not all the applications can be collaboratives. That's the only point. But I would say for small ones that want to start, that would be a nice way to start. Because if they're not really sure, for example, if they're not really sure that robot will just palletize in that product, you can kind of just reprogram that in the future and palletize something else, or use that same robot to do something else. Of course, all the other robots, you can do the same, but specific, if you buy something specific for painting or welding, the industrial ones, you might not be able to use to do something else. But like for started, for because of the price and the whole fence around that you need for that, I would say to start with the collaborative ones.
Great. Okay, so cobots probably a good way to go, and I suppose it's sort of if you introduced a cobot into your shop floor, and the business hadn't used robots before, it's you know from my point of view, it's probably an unobtrusive way of getting the workforce used to having a
Yes,
robot there. It's smaller, it doesn't need to be caged off. And because there's a behavioral safety element to this, isn't there? It's not just the equipment itself being safe, it's the behavior and the actions of the workers around the robots that's really key. So what you're saying is a smaller one and perhaps a cobot that you can repurpose for other tasks through
And
reprogramming.
then because there is no cage around, so at least to the operators lose that fear of the robot, especially the first time. But I do recommend for the first time, don't do program themselves because for the risk assessment, the robot is safe if you make it safe. Because of course, if you have the welding torch to a collaborative robot, is not safe anymore. And or if you add a saw or something that is dangerous to that tool, is you need to program well when the robot well programmed and the risk assessment is well done around that, the robot is kind of safe to work around. And of course, it's easier to integrate a collaborative one that is not fenced at all, so the operator can walk around and see that it's okay, safe to get close. And then after a few months, you integrate an industrial one. There are industrial robots, small ones, like size wise, but they are industrial because of the speed. They need to be inside, of course, a cage. But like at least we start introduction because you need everyone on board of the automation. Otherwise, it would fail because people would. They're going to be afraid and they want to work beside the robot. They wouldn't be afraid to be beside the robot. And if something happened, the robot stopped, they would not touch because they think they would break or make worse.
Okay, and how can SME manufacturers sort of assess which of their processes are best suited for robots? I mean, where should they begin in sort of trying to understand, well, what's going to be suitable or not?
Well, I would say approach a specialist. There are a few companies, like I haven't met one of the companies there on the Automation UK called How to Robot. They kind of that the main business, what they do, they analyze the full process and recommend which part you should start. And of course, any system integrator or machine builder would recommend like assess your process and define where should you should start. And people like me as well, I do not build the machines, but I could counsel and say where you should start or if you should start at all, because some of the process, unfortunately, you cannot automate it because automate means repetitive tasks most of the times and depends of what they have would might not, but find someone a specialist on the field, not just because someone you saw a robot doing something on a fair, a trade show, and you find that would be nice to have on site. Because I read case studies before that was really shocked. One company they spend a lot of money to have half of the process automated, but they did not really care about the after that, like training the employees or even really integrate that the other half. So the automated part was too fast for the other half, so they never really matched in between. And because every time the robot stopped for some reason, like as I said, the troubleshooting, that the operator didn't know what to do. The manager didn't know what to do. They didn't know who to call. They start calling technicians and the person who made the sale. And it was like take longer, a lot of downtime, a lot of money spent. So they decide to stop and go back to manual.
Wow. So
So,
it's got to
yes.
be the right thing, the right process, the right
But the thing
application.
is, they automated half and they kind of did not plan. Like, well, okay, when we this go ahead, half of your production line will be and have probably 3 times more speed than the manual one. So you cannot go half like this. You need to go specific points, or otherwise we're gonna generate the gap, or. So it's about planning and talking to the right people. And if you're not sure about that person you're talking to, get another opinion. Like, there are so many over there. It's like a doctor. If you're not happy, go to another one, ask for opinion. You don't need to commit to pay for that robot. And now, like, there are other options because technology is there, AI and simulation software. So I heard stories that some companies would do even the factory testing in a virtual reality, and until they're not really 100% happy, they wouldn't buy the robot. So, and you can, like, there are companies doing that. So you can go simulate, do all the virtual reality for that application before even to commit to buy. So let's say they would spend 1% or something of the money doing the virtual reality simulation before, if they're too afraid to go there.
So they're gonna mitigate some of the financial risk of not
Yes,
doing the right thing.
definitely there are a lot of options there, and the simulation, I would say, is one of the best because the simulation now is more and more precise and accurate.
So obviously we have the Robot Queen, we have Valoy Automation, there's a whole host of integrators out there in the market, as you've said. And there are organizations like Automate UK and BARA, the British Automation and Robotics Association, where people can, that's, usually a good place to start, because in particular those associations aren't sort of, they would give unbiased, sort of knowledge and point people in the right direction, as would an integrator as well, because they're not sort of typically tied to any one manufacturer, are there, any sort of
Yeah, but there's
particular
like a
robot.
consultant, like they would recommend the best solution. And of course, I would say the best, the even better, because they have already connections. They know who
Yes.
you recommend. And nowadays, especially for a lot of money, you need to know where you're buying and
Yeah.
from who you buy, and if that person or if that company would deliver what you want. Because, like, as I said, one of my service is optimize the robots, old robotic cells, and what I'm seeing, like 2 3 years old, that not that old, should be
Okay.
working fine. But because the system integrator that programmed that robot did not have really expertise, they just design, and the robots are very great machines, I would say, because anyone can program, and that's the point. If anyone can program, it will work. But there is a bug there. In 2 3 years or even less, you're gonna start changing joints. You're gonna start like changing motors, and then you'll be like, okay, so should be the time I was getting my money back. And now, after 2 years, I'm still spending money on the robot. So why am I gonna buy another one? And machine integrators don't see that part because they're just selling it. And the more I kind of advocate a lot on my LinkedIn and my company is, if you well program, that robot should last at least 10 years. Unless you change the product or you want to reduce cycle time. You should not change the program. Once that robot is well programmed, it should last at least 5 years, or depends on the manufacturer, it should last even longer before you start changing parts. If you start changing parts on that, you're expecting 2 years having your return of investment, and in 2 years you start replacing parts, you're not getting any return.
Yeah, that's right. So the importance is getting it right in the first place, doing
Yes.
all the right sort of planning, but then the programming has got to be on point, and
Yeah.
you're not going to need to change it.
Yes, like if you start having problems on the programming part, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm seeing a lot, there's not really a lot of experts on the program side. Of course, they can design, they can build, they can assemble, but like that their programs are doing everything. Because I used to be one of those programmers. I used to program PLC, HMIs, conveyors, sensors, connect everything, test, and I was not even on one robot the whole project. So, you know, like we need to sit down and see how is the best way to program this robot. Because as I said, these are really great machines. So you can program, let's say, wrong way and it's still gonna work. And but the thing is the best, like the wear and tear of the robot. I'm seeing so many. Unfortunately, I cannot post all the videos because of NDA with my customers, but some of them I can and I post it. And like the robot just spinning around just to pick one thing and place, and for they don't see the problem. It was like, yes, just imagine like turning like that 300 times a day because it's picking and places every single day, or if you go 24 hours, that robot. Can you imagine that joint in a few months? You need to replace because it's just wear and tear, wear and tear. And this is just one of the things that I'm seeing because of the, it's just the code. It's nothing wrong with the whole machines and the machine is fine, the conveyor is fine. It's just the robot. Sometimes the robot's too fast, sometimes the robot's too slow. The movements is not, they are not smooth. So you can see the robot stopping in between. And for me, it's like, this is a sign that's a really bad program because the robot should go a little more smooth. Of course, there are points that it should stop, but not every movement. So that is like, it's like a car. If you drive and stop and accelerate, stop, accelerate, like you're still getting where you should go, but the engine and the gearbox, you might replace that
And you wear
sooner.
your brakes out.
Yeah. So then, like, you have a brand new car, amazing, and you drive like that for a year. What do you think is gonna happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm curious, Vanessa, to understand where your inspiration came from to get into the world of automation and robotics, because I recently had a guest on Insights for Manufacturing, a young guy by the name of Solomon McKernan, who was a degree level apprentice with Leonardo. His inspiration was actually Tony Stark from Iron Man. So I'm
No, funny
really.
because mine too.
He's really popular, right? Iron Man, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, I think it was. So was that it, or but what else?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a long story trying to make short. I've made a few posts about it. Because when I finished college, my background is industrial engineering, and I watched the movie, the first one back then, and I found it amazing. Like, my goodness, like so cool that he can build a robot. And yeah, and but like I made like a joke with my friend back then. I was like, oh, if I could, like I would work with robots. And then start laughing. He did not laugh. He looked at me and he said, like, why you should not try? And I look at him, it's like, do you think it's possible? I mean, like, I don't know, it seems so far away, you know, but thank God he did. And in Brazil, and I tried to look for another college, but it was like, I just finished engineering. I'm not going to start another one. And I found like an introduction to robotics. It was a few weekends back then, and it was amazing. It was like everything I needed was not too expensive that I could afford. It was during the weekend, so I would not didn't have to take, you know, day off to go to the trainings. And it was like, if it doesn't work, it's just a few weekends, I'm not wasting my time. I fell in love the first day, and I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do, program the robots, work with robots. And because of the movie, yeah. Funny thing.
That's amazing. And I think everybody we, at some point we have to take a bit of a leap of faith, don't we, when we're
Yes.
following our passions for whatever our interests are. And aside from the fact that we're in this world of robotics and automation and AI and all that sort of stuff, we're still, and I can only really speak from the UK's perspective, but I'm sure it's the same in other countries. There is a huge lack of females in
Yes.
engineering and manufacturing anyway. So it's absolutely wonderful that, you know, people like you are doing what you're doing and, you know, being an inspiration for
Yeah, like showing
other
my
people.
face. Because as you said, like, okay, it was Tony Stark was a movie, but like why? There are people doing many other things. And when I started posting, it was like, because when I started, I did not have anyone to count on it. Like I never seen a woman until a few years ago when I opened my business and I start going to the trade shows and talking to people and then meet them over there. Nowadays, I have really great connections on LinkedIn. I even have a group about women in automation. But then I'm kind of forcing them, girls, like post about it. Like, where are you? Like, a lot of them are there, never post anything about it, but they have really cool jobs. But the thing is, you need to be there, show your face, so you inspire somebody else to do the same. Because in my mind, there are, of course, not many of us over there, but the amount that are over there is still more than we think there are.
What else do you think, you know, industry, whether it's engineering or manufacturing or you know, or we narrow that down to robotics and automation, but what do you think the industry can do to, you know, to attract more women into careers in manufacturing and engineering and robotics?
Well, when I started, it was a little bit of support, like of the guys I worked with, they were really supportive. They, you know, like you're here. But I don't know, training something more specific for women, especially when you have posting about the job. Sometimes you read, it's like, well, I might not fit there. But one thing is specific, I know it's kind of sounds funny, but it was the uniform. With uniform was the first thing I changed when I opened my business, and I felt like yeah, that's a dream. I didn't have a female uniform for probably 2 years working automation. So I have safe shoes that was too big. I have jackets that were too big, and basic uniform like t-shirt and shirts, that kind of basic. And I was complaining for 2 years until eventually they was like, okay, Vanessa, we're gonna buy you that, but that's it. So I have to go and look for a safe shoes that at least was comfortable and, you know, safe and feel like a female. But like most of the time, and what I see for at least teenagers is like, I don't want to look like a man while I'm working. And like, you don't have to. But the uniform, as they said, oh, but it's unisex. Like, you're going to buy our shoes. Oh, it's for both. It's like, no, it's a male. Even the size is male. And it's not safe walking around with a shoes that's too big for you. Or, like, I remember my last job before I worked for my business, I have a really big jacket. And I was like, I cannot work like that because I have to fold, you know, fold all the way here. And it was like, this is not safe because I can still get caught here. So the safety part of the uniform was gone because it was too big and there was nothing. And I was like, that was the small version of the jacket. There was not other option. And then I was complaining because this is not female. You want more females working here. You need to think about it. But then after I opened my business and start looking for, I realized it's kind of more deep of that. There's not many options over there, and as well because there is not many women work on those areas. So, you know, it's just going a way along. But at least I would say to start showing them that you kind of care. Like, okay, you have the option, you can choose. At least a jacket that you fit you, that you don't have to wear something so big that you cannot walk around. I swear to God, I have so big clothes that I was going to tailor to kind of adjust a little bit. And I heard so many times we don't have female uniform. There is no option. And I was like, that's not right. So when I opened my business, first thing, looked and I found it. I was like, that's not that hard. But because I was the only one, they, you know, I know it sounds silly, but like a lot of girls down there, they want to be girls. And you don't need to look like a man doing the work. That, you know, how you look doesn't matter. Of course, what
Absolutely.
matters is your ability to program the robot. You know, hair. Oh yeah, of course. I get my hair, braid my hair. If I have to work with town, the robot, everything to relate to safety.
Yep,
But
absolutely.
still, your clothes doesn't need to be a female, male clothes to work. And
That's a
every time
really good
I say
point.
that, yeah, every time I say that, people's like, oh, but it's like so silly. It's like, yeah, do you know why people like my videos? Because I wear my uniform. I'm wearing like nice jackets and I'm near the robot, but I'm wearing safe shoes. You know, sounds all great. Yeah, because the girls can see me and it's like, yeah, I can do what she does and I don't need to look like a man.
That is so interesting. That's a really good point. I mean, let's face it, a lot of larger businesses, go for that corporate look. And, if you go to any plant in the world for a particular business, the uniform will probably be the same. And I get all of that, but then when when you're struggling to, to encourage more females into something like manufacturing or engineering, yeah, I empathize with the fact that, you're gonna want to look and feel a little bit more comfortable than just having
Yeah,
a,
because we
this
like
is
our
it.
bar are small, especially the shoulders. I remember my jacket, some of the shoulders was like around here. And then that's really uncomfortable. We're working every day with that clothes that look like it's not yours. So I was feeling like, okay, they don't want me here because I cannot have something that I can wear. And like I have to really to fight to get the safe shoes I want to, because I bought the safe shoes and I have to fight to wear the safe shoes. But like I worked in a company that they didn't allow me to wear my safe shoes because they did not look safe, even though all the requirements that they want to and the other one have, my one has, just because my one was leather, it was not like a runner shoes, was like a boot, they did not like it. And it's like, but how you want women here? Because to women who work here, you need to make space for them. And I'm saying for everything, of course, I would say 90% the men I worked with was open mind. It was never mind like I was there because of a woman that never have a problem. But you need to make space for training. Like, okay, like what a woman would do? Like, oh, it's a heavy. It's like, no, you can have a woman here. Why not? You need just to care, but I would say, of course, women, we need, oh, that's my experience. Unfortunately, not everyone has a good experience like that. But I would say, like, to feel that I was there because they want me, not just, oh, no, she's here because she's really good, you know? And I see. Kind of this is a problem as well for women because we don't apply to the job if you're not 100% sure that we can do it. And I have that feel that people expect me to be 100% and 10 better than everybody else just because I'm a woman there and should not be like that. I'm just here working like you do. I don't need to be much better than you. Of course, if I want to, it's great, but you know. Don't put that expectation. Oh yeah, but like you are here, you're a woman here, so you need to be better than everybody else to justify why you're here. And I felt that sometimes, and it's like, I don't need to justify. I'm doing my job as everybody else. Thank God I'm really good and I love what I do, but it's different for the other people. Like imagine like just a teenager or someone that's starting a career. Go to a team that she's there to learn, you know, just starting. She's there to learn as everybody else, but everyone have so much expectation that she perform much better than everybody else because she's the only woman there. Why?
It's strange. Well, I suppose there are, I mean, I've read certain articles and sort of stats. over the last couple of years, and you know, women are better than men at certain things, you know, and it's good that that is being recognized. But as you've said, and that's interesting, that I suppose because of the success of women in some of the industries that were historically male dominated, when you have successful women and more people get to hear about that, that is absolutely fantastic. But it does, I
Pressure.
think, create that bit of pressure, doesn't it? And the expectation that any woman is going to be better than a man doing the
Yeah,
same
and I
job.
once
Not
even
always the
thought
case.
you are better. I was like, okay, I'm no, I'm doing because like I did a lot of training, like I expertise myself. I
Yeah.
got training in a lot of brands that like I'm work with. Okay, that's fine. Do not expect or do not think that I have to be.
Yeah.
That's not like we are here the same. Like the same
Yeah.
that you're delivering, why I cannot deliver the same and be okay. You know, because before I worked in automation, I had that same kind of problem before that I was delivering the same as my male co-worker. And it was like, Vanessa, you're not performing better. Why not? It was like, yeah, but like we are in the same level here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but you have to perform better because you're a woman. I was like, we don't have to. And then,
Yeah, it's
as you said, it's
crazy.
just pressure. Of course, it's great. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do your best. Of course, you should. But like, as when you're starting your career, you should not put that amount of pressure because you're new on that area. You won't
Yeah,
have many
absolutely.
women, unfortunately, still the gap there are going to take 100 years to we haven't even close to 30%. We're not even there yet, so it's still
Yeah.
gonna be a while to see another woman work in that area. And then you're just there, like, why you cannot sit there, do your job as everybody else, and just go home. And then, of course, if you're really good, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but like if you're good, fine. But if you're not that good, it's okay to learn. Like
Yeah.
we make mistakes and we
Yeah.
learn. But that expectations, oh yeah, because you see that woman in such company, she got two awards, blah blah blah. She went, you know. Yeah, but was why you need to compare? Why you need to put that pressure? And I
Yeah.
think that pressure on the women, like sometimes I just want to do the job and go home, and not just do whatever I want to learn, do my job and go home. That's the feeling I had
Yeah.
years ago when I started. But the pressure was like, you're a woman, you're here, you need to show. I like that's what I felt. Like I need to show that I'm good, otherwise I'm gonna lose my space. And it should not
Yeah.
be like that.
There should be an equal expectation, shouldn't there? It should be,
Yes,
there's a human on
of
that
course.
job, whether it's male, female, or.
The same way there are men that they are great what they do and they should be recognized.
Yeah.
And probably they have the problem. I cannot answer for that. But like that expectation should be the same, not just expecting that you should do better because you're different from everybody
Yeah.
else.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting dilemma. And I suppose, you know, everybody's trying to get more females into industry, manufacturing and engineering and technology. But when you've got that kind of scenario, it's counterproductive, isn't it? Because some young girls would then have that sort of fear of not meeting expectations. So, you know, when you're learning a new job or a new technology, everybody's going to be a bit nervous, and they're going to be a little bit, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this. But if you've also got sort of comparison factor between what a man should do, what a female should do, well, if it's a female, because we've got successful females, you need to be right at the top all the time. That can come later, can't it? You just need to get people into the mix
Yes,
to
it's
begin with,
learning, like
and
especially if you are learning, everybody's learning, you shouldn't have that high expectation.
yeah.
Oh yeah, no, they should, no, she should do everything because Vanessa is doing everything. I was like, yeah, I have 6 years of experience. You cannot compare someone that just starting because when I started, I learned a lot of by myself,
Yeah.
looking to other people because like I really loved what I was doing and what I do. But we should not, I believe that we should not put this amount of expectation in someone that just starting. Or, you know, like they not even choose the degree yet, because here in Ireland it's really common that the students before, you know, choosing a degree college, they would go to the industry to see what they would do it. And if they get there and see that expectations, like, oh my God, I don't want to work in that such pressure just because I'm a woman here, I need to perform 100% and then. Of course, you are expected to perform well in any job. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but that expectation should be the same for male and female,
Yeah,
not because.
absolutely. With you 100% on that. So, I mean, we've nearly come to the end of the episode today. I mean, it's been an enlightening discussion on all sort of topics, you know, from technology to equality. We've sort of pretty much covered everything, really. But in terms of yourself, Vanessa, and Valoy Automation, what have you got planned for the rest of this year? And what's 2025 shaping up like?
Oh, Jesus. For the rest of the year, no, I have not much planned. I'm a trainer here for a cent educational center here related to robotics and automation. And I want to bring more brands, other robotics brands aboard, you know, to offer more trainings here in Ireland. We already partnered with Universal Robots and we're trying to bring other brands to open to, because one of my goals is to have the girls go to my trainings, you know, to be like, okay, I can go because they're women doing the training, so they would feel more comfortable. And I want this as well for next year. So I have more other brands showing the same training and offering as a trainer, so that would inspire or even lose that fear of the girls going for the training like with just men. And I would say for Valoy Automation next year is to grow more in Europe in general, because I do have a few customers on the UK and here in Ireland, but because of my LinkedIn and because of my expertise, as again, I program specific and optimize the robot program. It's easy to travel to do that remotely, and some of the projects we, you know, you can optimize and do everything remotely or on site. And I want to increase that to Europe to help more people and showing, you know, that you can save money just program, you know, just on the programming side, that you don't need to replace the wholesale or, you know, the whole robot because something didn't perform the way you want to. You know, sometimes it's just a line on the code that happened before that you can change and change the production.
So lots of exciting stuff in the pipeline then,
Oh
Vanessa.
yeah, and then, well, I would say as a person on LinkedIn, I want to increase. Of course, I post a lot of videos about robotics and with a lot of information. I am creating now a YouTube channel to have that reach more people. And I do have online trainings, actually it's a e-learning, but my point as well as a person there on LinkedIn is to provide more information as free as much as I can and show them that it's possible. And, you know, with properly training, they can be a programmer as well.
Brilliant. Well, I look forward to following you know, your continuing journey in robotics. Keep flying the flag for females in robotics and manufacturing. For now, thank you very much for joining me on Insights for Manufacturing.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. This was great. Yes, definitely.
You're very welcome.